Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to another new episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me for episode 043, recorded on June 6th, 2011. Well, how have your last 2 weeks been? Have you played well? Sorry I was away from the mic last week, but it was really nice to have a totally free Monday without me having to make up for it during the rest of my week's schedule. Between the E-man needing some serious dental attention that will culminate with oral surgery in a few hours, a couple newer students who always occupy more prep time than students who are not beginners, consulting with a student who will join my schedule as soon as the school year winds down, and my iMac needing a trip to the Apple store the past couple of weeks were even busier than they usually are. Had it not been Memorial Day last Monday, I don't know if I would have even been able to do a podcast, so I guess all's fair. And to top it all off, my pet bird, Bandy, who's at a mature age, has been sick on and off for a while, and that's a distraction. It's a real killer for me. I hate to see any of my pets in distress. So I'm going to whip through this podcast as quickly but accurately as I can. I am not going to go back to edit anything I misspeak, so I'm going to do my best to put this together cleanly, but I'm under tremendous time constraints this morning. The next holiday up is Father's Day, and for those of you who have relationships with your dads that are good ones, do you have a dad who's a guitar player? Well, now is the time to think about gifts, not the evening of the 18th. And for those of you who are not walking, talking, encyclopedic calendars, Father's Day is one of those kind of mushy holidays that isn't a set day, but it's the third Sunday in June. So you have just less than 2 weeks to do whatever you're going to do for that, if you're a Father's Day gift doer, and I realize not everyone is. I will, later in the show, I'm going to mention some thoughts on Father's Day gifts. Let's see. I know that I went on forever and ever at Christmas Hanukkah time about gifts. This is going to be just a one-shot little thing where I'm going to mention some gifts a little later in the episode. So a kind of synopsis of this episode is that there are a few students in the spotlight for the past 2 weeks. The question of the week is about learning familiar music as a beginner. In the news is Epiphone's Masterbuilt series of guitars, which includes both Dreadnought-style guitars and what they call finger-style guitars, and that has to do with the head nut width. And Take Note involves Father's Day gifts for the guitar-playing dads out there. That's it for the intro. I'm going to try to be careful and whisk through this, as I said, so hold on to your hats, pull up a cup of Joe, and let's get going. In the glow of the student spotlight this week, there are four students, and this covers this past week and the week before, since I was not doing a show at that time. The students are Arno, Brad, Danielle, and Julia. Nice work, people. One of you is only occasionally in this honor roll of students. You know who you are. Get yourself settled down, focus, and have some self-discipline. You could be here every week if you applied yourself. I know, I'm scolding, but it's a little frustrating when you have a student with great potential who just totally lacks any modicum of self-control. It's unfortunate. Likewise, listeners, you're not going to be great guitar players if you are not willing to put in the time and invest yourself in the long haul or for the big picture. your speed or whatever technique you're attempting to master isn't going to magically be what you want it to be because you want it to be so, or because you've read about it and read how your guitar idol lived their life and what they did to get their chops up. There's no substitute for working out your mastery of the guitar. There's just nothing, there's no other source of information that is going to make your fingers live, fast, accurate, your playing clean, your picking correct, your rhythm extraordinary, anything other than you actually doing it. So it's great if you read contributing information to whatever you're working on, but the reading of it and the knowing about it is not going to get you there. Brad, Arno, Danielle, Julia, keep up the great work. Let's remain consistent and have another good week. Let's move on to this week's question. Question of the week comes from a newish student, and not actually in the form of a question. I know I've done this a few times, but this is worth discussing. I'm choosing a unisex fictitious name for this student so they may remain anonymous. Let's call him or her Lee. Lee is having the usual beginner struggles, never having learned music in any formal way before. And Lee comes to the table with knowing how to play movable chords and some riffs and little pieces of familiar songs. Lee has been playing that way for a couple of years, I'd say. So now, the convergence of issues like using the correct fingering in open position, counting the correct number of beats indicated by the note, and not only identifying the name of a note, but also playing it, and playing the correct pitch of that note. Remember back when you learned to play? Did you have any difficulty knowing which A you were supposed to play? If your instructor drilled into you that a note was a visual image of how high or how low a sound is, you may not have been too confused about whether to play open A or the A on the second fret of the G string or any other for that matter. But these things are confusing to beginners, especially if they haven't had any musical training at all. Well, this fictitiously named student Lee has said a few times that they think they'll do better with music that is familiar to them. From Lee's perspective, recognizable music is desired because Lee will know by how it sounds whether Lee is playing it correctly or not. Plus, Lee will have the mini satisfaction of recognizing what they're playing, even if it is a really watered-down version of it. I get it. I really do. And Lee will have some music in the coming weeks that Lee recognizes. But we don't work only on music Lee recognizes, because in all cases, in general, but in Lee's case in particular, I need to know how Lee is processing the music they read as well as the music they hear. Most people, whether beginners or advanced, have a stronger inclination. Some play from notation better than by ear, and for others, it's reversed. At the beginning stage, I don't want to think a student is reading and playing accurately when it's really their ear doing the work and they're visually disengaging. And that is really, really common. Learning to play any musical instrument is extremely complex. In my opinion, stringed instruments are high on the complexity scale. There are so many synapses that have to fire and so much crossing of the midline of the brain to go from either thinking of a sound intellectually, quantifying where that sound should be played and playing it, in the case of doing it by ear, or in the case of reading, seeing a symbol, which is a note, determining which pitch it indicates, determining how long it needs to ring, determining where it will be played on the fretboard, choosing to use the correct finger if the urge to put a different one can be overcome, and then executing it and sustaining it for as long as necessary, and the instant that that has been completed, move on to the next note and do it all over again. I get it. I believe me, I don't discount how much of a challenge it is to begin to play an instrument. I really understand. I teach. I see it all the time. I'm fully aware of the hurdles beginners are facing. Because there are so many aspects to the first stages of learning to play an instrument, whether the guitar or not, I am extremely cognizant of how my beginners are absorbing all the information they need to develop good instinct and reflexes in the very early stages of their experience. I need to observe whether they are frequently confusing two written notes or whether they tend to use an incorrect fingering and things like that. I know they seem like small things to beginners who are juggling so many things to think about just to read a line of written music that they think, well, why are you bothering me about how long it lasts? At least I know this and this and this and this and this. Well, my issue is I need to observe as they begin to make habits whether they're forming good habits or not, because habits are absolute murder to undo. And I want to save them the anguish of having to relearn anything, because it's always harder and it's always a source of great distress, disappointment, anguish, and they beat themselves up, I'd say not needlessly, but, you know, they're partially to blame because they didn't heed instruction in the beginning. But anyway, it's a mess to undo a badly learned habit. So Lee is going to have some music he or she recognizes, but when Lee is called upon to play something they do not know, I will be able to detect Lee's raw ability and or areas of weakness. And that's what my job is to fix any problem that arises, especially in this early stage, because without a really solid foundation, you're going nowhere as a player. So if you're out there and you're a sort of new guitarist and you are sitting under the instruction of someone competent, when they correct you, that's what you're paying them for. Pay attention. They do know more than you do. They know why you need to coordinate all these seemingly difficult, challenging things right from the get-go, as opposed to, well, let's just know what the notes are and where they are, and then we'll put the timing to it. Doesn't work. It's totally counterproductive to separate those things. Or, well, I'll play it with any finger for now, and then I'll learn the right fingering. Totally counterproductive. So I want Lee to have the enjoyment, if you can call it that, of working through a challenge and having the end result that is very satisfying because a song may be familiar. I also want Lee to develop into a well-rounded musician that is limited only by what they want to play, not by their lack of ability in any aspect of playing the guitar. You instructors who listen to this podcast, I hope you're not in this field just for the bread, but that you earn your fee by correcting and cultivating your students so they have a chance at becoming accomplished guitarists. I know this was a little long-winded and a little bit preachy and not exactly a question, but I've been saving it up for 2 weeks, and what can I say? I had to vent it, and I think this was a good venue for it. So, I thank you for your forbearance. Now let's move along to this week's news. This week I wanted to discuss Epiphone's Master Built series. This is a collection of acoustic guitars that sort of are a revival of their 1930s models. The collection encompasses steel string fingerstyle models, round and square-shouldered dreadnoughts, all made with hand-selected woods, including Sitka spruce, rosewood, maple, and mahogany. These are absolutely gorgeous. They're solid wood. They have the offset notch peg head shape with the historic Epiphone script logo and mother of pearl stick pin inlay. My Epiphone from many, many, many decades ago had that sort of slash E logo. This predates that. This is that script Epiphone logo. The chairman and CEO of Gibson's Epiphone's parent company has said, with the original Masterbuilt line of 1931, Epiphone challenged Gibson for supremacy in the guitar world, and the ensuing battle brought out the best in both companies. Then he also added, the Masterbuilt line symbolizes the quest for perfection that still drives Epiphone today. And, you know, I know if you're a Gibson lover, probably don't look at Epiphone with quite the same high regard, but it's a valid guitar company. They have something to definitely bring to the table for the average guitar player and even the serious guitarist. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about the line. There's an AJ500M. This is a slope shoulder, and it's got a very warm sound. It's got a solid mahogany back and sides and solid Sitka spruce top. And although the manufacturer's suggested retails are higher than this, you know when you go into a guitar store, unless it's a very little, very, very shishy shop, you know, it's got the suggested retail and then the what we call the street price. I'm going to give you a ballpark street price for these guitars. The manufacturer suggested retail's higher than this, but that's not really what they sell for. We've had this conversation before. It's kind of like an automobile at an automobile showroom. Whatever the sticker says is definitely not what they expect you to pay for it. So this AJ500M is, again, it's a slope-shouldered guitar. It doesn't have the square shoulders. It's just under $500 street price. Then there's an EF500M. That's got the Sitka spruce top, mahogany back and sides. This one is a very warm tone, and it has a finger-style neck and concert-sized body. So where the AJ wasn't quite a dreadnought, it was kind of like a slope-shoulder dreadnought. This one is a concert-sized body. Street price is hitting just under $550. There's an AJ500R. This is an advanced jumbo shape. Has balanced clear tone, made famous by modern music legends. It's constructed of solid rosewood back and sides for great bottom end, and a Sitka spruce top for pure acoustic sound. This guy hits the street for just under $600. Sorry about that. I can't go and edit out that alert. Then we have the DR500R. Now, this is a lush-sounding dreadnought. It is Sitka spruce top, rosewood back and sides, which also gives us a nice low-end sound. Again, this hits the street for just under $600. The EF500R, now this is the finger-style version. It's got very rich tones. It's made with solid rosewood back and sides, Sitka spruce top. And again, remember, it's that head nut chiseling that determines finger style or not finger style neck. Finger style guitar strings are going to just be set the tiniest bit farther apart than if you're intended to play strictly with a pick. This hits the street. This is the EF500R. Hits the street for just under $600. Then we have the DR500MCE. This combines the traditional construction methods and features a premium all-solid tone woods to bring you a new vintage instrument with deep, rich lows, shimmering highs, and just the right amount of mids. Now, you'll recognize this guitar because this is a Sunburst guitar. It's really a lovely instrument. This guy hits the streets also for just under $600. Then there's the EF500R CCE. This is the acoustic electric version of the fingerstyle that I just mentioned. It has a generous cutaway for soloing ease, and again, that spacing of the head nut, because it's fingerstyle, is a 1.75 inch nut spacing. And the solid cedar top with solid rosewood back and sides gives us a really nice warmth and depth for electrified playing. And those of you who know me, I never met a piece of spruce or pine I ever liked. Cedar's my thing. So it's not as prevalent on an acoustic steel string instrument. So you people who like really, really warm tones when you play, especially if you want this electric option, this is the guitar in the line for you. And this hits the street at just under $800. Yeah, I have a black belt in shopping, and I know good when I hear it. The EF500 is the last one I'm going to mention. Excuse me, the EF500RA. This is adorned in hand inlaid abalone. It looks as good as it sounds. It's made with solid rosewood back and sides and a solid Sitka spruce top, featuring, again, the fingerstyle 1.75 inch nut width. This is comfortable and elegant and has great tone. This guy is the granddaddy of them, and it hits the street at just under $900. Now, you neophyte guitarists may think that's a lot of money to spend. These are all very low end of what we'd call good guitars. I wouldn't say they're necessarily a beginner guitar, but for the quality you're getting with Epiphone, you really, really get your money's worth. For me, I think the only other company that delivers this kind of quality at a lower end, you know what, I'm not even going to say. I'm going to hold that for another time. There is another brand that I'm fond of, and I'm not going to mix that into Epiphone's promo here. So, the Masterbuilt series, there are loads of well-known guitarists with well-known bands or solo artists that use Masterbuilt or have been cited playing Masterbuilt, and I'm going to put a link to the Epiphone's page about Masterbuilt, and you can read all about them when you get there. And I will also have a YouTube link up for this Masterbuilt series so you can hear some of them and see some of them. Now it's time to move along to the Take Note segment. My take note topic this week is get your guitar playing dad a cool gift for Father's Day. Okay, with just under 2 weeks, you can do this. Now, I know I offered a lot of gift suggestions as the Christmas Hanukkah season drew near. This will only be a single segment of a single episode, so don't worry. The E-Man has said on many occasions that I have a black belt in shopping, and I would be the first person to agree with that astute observation, but I'm not going to put you through the rigors of everything I think about Father's Day gifts, just a few. So let's go from the low budget items to little higher end stuff. I'm sure that Dad will appreciate anything that shows you thought of him, regardless of the cost. Picks, if he plays with a pick, they're always great, but be sure you get the correct weight. Just because it looks like what he uses doesn't mean it is what he uses. You know how that goes. Do a little recon. For a splurge, and if you're not going to see Dad on Father's Day and your gift could be a little late and could be mailed to him, you may want to get in touch with John Dahl of D&D Picks and order some with your dad's name or initials or his guitar's name or something like that. if he's never had personalized picks, you know, it really might be something he'd like, and he'll always think of you as he's playing, and he'll mention it to his buds. And, you know, you have to give John a little lead time, but he may be able to turn them around and even get them to your dad on time or to you. Personalized picks will set you back more than what a few packs of ordinary ones will, but if dad's never had them before, I think they're worth it. It's not a whole lot of money. And you can always just get him, you know, a couple packs of regular picks and stick them in his Father's Day card. Strings are another thing he can use. If you play and know your way around the guitar, you might want to get dad a dozen sets of strings and then make a coupon book or give him a coupon card that entitles him to free string changes. Dad did a lot for you. If you're geographically close by, change his strings for him. This will be the gift that keeps on giving. I know a lot of guitarists who hate changing their strings to the extent that they'll even pay someone else to do it because they dislike it so much. So something like that, some strings, and offering to do the string changes for him might be appreciated way more than you realize, especially if you don't hate changing your strings. I don't mind string changes, but I know a lot of people who really hate to do them. If dad is going on a vacation and not taking his guitar, consult your local guitar shop or luthier to see how much a fretboard cleaning and conditioning costs. If you can afford it, dad'll be thrilled with a like-new fretboard. Now, this may not be timed exactly for Father's Day, but you could give him a little IOU that says that's what you're going to do for him. If you're really good with your hands, you might want to undertake it yourself. Giant disclaimer here, I do not recommend it, but if you already work on your own guitar, read a lot about it. Don't just look at one forum and go to it. I know how to condition and clean a fretboard, but I never do it. I don't work on my own guitars. Other than string changes, I don't do anything else. I pay someone who knows guitars to do it, and I sleep very well at night, and I have a life. I'm not saying that's what's right for you, but for me, I don't work on my own guitars other than string changes. And I do know how to do just about everything. That's how I choose who's going to work on my guitar, by how they do the work. But anyway, the other plus is when you take your guitar to a good luthier, you can ask them to be sure that your frets are level also. You know, frets don't always wear at the same rate, and a good luthier is going to straighten that out for you as well. Okay, these first few have been quite practical, but since it's dad, I'll be remiss if I didn't suggest a couple of toys also. If dad has an iPhone and likes to record himself playing, you might look into Guitar Jack. It will work with compatible iOS apps like 4Track and others, and it's a very cool device. If your dad has a Taylor, it's even more cool because there's a free Taylor EQ app that features various Taylor presets. But basically what Guitar Jack does is it allows you to record guitar playing right onto your iDevice, whether it's the phone, pad, or pod. Excuse me. Yeah, phone, pad, or pod. Now, if dad plays a well-known brand of guitar, check their website for their gear shop and see what they offer. You can find everything from picks, baseball caps, and t-shirts to the pricey but drool-gorgeous Taylor money clips. These are individual works of art, and if your dad ordinarily carries a money clip and he plays a Taylor and you're flush, I couldn't think of a better gift for him. Just looking at them makes you drool, never mind like touching one and having one. Again, being a black belt, I could go on and on about this, but I hope I've given you some ideas for your guitar playing dad's Father's Day gift possibilities. That'll wrap it up for this week's segments of episode 043. Let's get along to the outro because I really have to get out of here fast. Thank you. Okay, I'm running through this quickly as I can, as I have to get the E-man out to the oral surgeon in a little while. There's lots of ambient noise. I hear a train in the background. I hope you can't hear it. Thanks a lot for joining me. Keep an eye on your hygrometer and humidify whenever you need to, which is most of the time. Congratulations to Arno, Brad, Danielle, and Julia for their pursuit and attainment of excellence over the past 2 weeks. Familiar music has its place in the beginner's endeavors, but not exclusively. Epiphone's Masterbuilt series is a lovely, reasonably priced series and offers the classic dreadnought and concert-sized guitar bodies, including some fingerstyle head nut spacing. You've got just under 2 weeks to wow your guitar playing father with a Father's Day gift that will keep on giving. Don't put it off. He'll appreciate your thoughtfulness. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for this episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, and you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please take note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com homepage and podcast page. You'll also find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, as well as to subscribe to the show notes by email or by a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.